Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, so he can play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
What is up, and welcome back, Steelers Nation and NFL fans alike. This is the Black and Gold NFL Recap, sponsored by Frank Lawn, brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain. I'm Matt Searles. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Fred and Sabo. What's going on, Fred? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, except for getting ready for a civil war in our house. I know you know a little bit of what I'm talking about, Matt, because I know you said your girlfriend's an Eagles fan. Well, my fiance and her daughter are Eagles fans as well. So trying to see if I'm gonna have to sleep on the couch depending on how tomorrow's game goes. But trying to keep the peace, which won't be easy tomorrow for sure. But other than that, everything's going well. What's up with you, Sabo?
What are they calling this game? The Battle of Wensylvania. I can't wait for tomorrow. Besides the Steeler-England game, the Eagles game, the next biggest matchup's going to be Monday night, and I cannot wait for that Hillary versus Trump. Jeez. And I bet you can't guess who I'd vote for out of those two. Take a guess.
I'm good with neither. Let's just set me up here. Let's stick with football, Saber. You're going to get me in trouble, buddy. All right, guys. So this is the Black and Gold NFL Recap, newest Behind the Steel Curtain podcast. What we do here is we get you all caught up on what's going on in the NFL, any injury update, any major news. We preview the upcoming week. We, of course, talk Steelers football. We let y'all know what's going on in our division and what to look for as Steelers fans, who to keep an eye on. And, yeah, that's what we do. So, week two in the books. Exciting week. Maybe not as exciting as week one, but still definitely some good games. We made our picks. Not to brag, but I am currently in the lead with 10. Fred and Sabo, you both have 9. Not sure what these points mean, what the winner gets, if they get anything. Will they get a ticket to the Super Bowl? Probably not. Will the loser have to become a Browns fan? It depends if I lose or not. We'll see what happens. So, if it's Fred or Sabo, probably. So, Fred, what were your thoughts on week two? Biggest takeaways, man?
Biggest takeaways is the Seahawks, which we knew their offensive line was in trouble last year. If anything, the Seahawks offensive line is worse, and I was just not surprised. I picked the Rams to beat them because they have their number, but the Seahawks in two games have scored 15 points. They have one touchdown. They have a great defense, but my take was they are going to run into some real problems. People were picking them to bounce back and maybe, you know, reclaim their title. They're going to have a lot. They're going to have a lot of problems. They cannot. They've hidden it for a while. They are not hiding it anymore. The Seahawks are in trouble on offense. So that's my biggest takeaway. out of that. What do you, what about you, Fable?
I got two. You know, I always do things differently. Are we considering the New England game a week two or week three game?
Week, you can toss it out there, week three. We're going to get to it, but if you want to talk about it now, go ahead, then.
Yeah, that was my biggest. I would never think they were that good. Okay, I picked Houston, and Houston looked terrible, and I can't believe that New England won that easily and everything. The other takeaway is the Steelers can win a football game without AB. That's my two biggest takeaways from last week.
I agree with you partially. I think they can win without AB being super productive in the stat line. I think if he's not out there on the field, I don't know about that, because if he's not out there on the field, the Bengals are playing an entirely different coverage. They can now bracket guys like Coates, and our tight ends will be as open. So I think they can win with AB not having the huge stat line. I don't think they can win without him on the field. He's just too valuable. But, yeah, crazy week. The Rams upsetting the Seahawks, that was – I don't know how you called that, Fred. I don't think anybody saw that happening. And the Patriots, I was watching that at work. It was brutal. I don't understand how it happened. If we put our third-string quarterback in, if we put our second-string quarterback in, we're not beating anybody. How are they going and beating an undefeated team? It's upsetting. I don't approve of it.
Well, I don't approve of it either, but I will say, even with our second-string quarterback, we did beat the Cardinals last year. So that's saying something. But what I will say is in that game, I think you could tell how bad inflation is, because for $72 million, the Texans didn't get a whole heck of a lot. $72 million. Osweiler was awful. He was horrible. I will say this.
They didn't. Too.
Belichick, O'Brien used to coach for Belichick. He was on the Patriots staff, so I guarantee you he knew a lot about what Bill O'Brien and them wanted to do. And O'Brien was supposed to be an offensive genius, but that was a horrible game plan. The Texans, what it showed was the Texans right now are pretenders. They cannot – The two that you said, they were you know, the Patriots beat an undefeated team, you were saying, Staple with their third string quarterback. Yeah, but the Texans were undefeated, haven't beaten the Bears, and they, you know, they held the Chiefs down. The Texans. J.J. Watt, I don't know if the injuries hurt him. He didn't look to do – he hasn't done so too much, but, yeah, they're big-time pretenders.
They are pretenders and everything. Real quick, I was going to do that little thing before we get into the games. If you're going to Philadelphia tomorrow, I want you to stop and get cheesesteaks. One place is called Geno's, and the other one is called Pat's. They're right across from each other. And I don't know if the Rocky statue. When I was up there, the Rocky statue, I'd take a picture with the Rocky statue and everything. Here's the other thing I got. In Gilbert, I did a little whatever he is, seventh cornerback or whatever. He will not be here. He'll be here next year. But the year after that, he kicks into a $13 million contract because he was one of the top 10 players. I think he was eighth and everything. He will not be here. He'll be here next year maybe. But the year after that, there's no way they're paying him $13 million. So he's gone.
That's Is that his option year? Is that what we're talking about?
That would be his rookie option year, it's called.
Yeah, fifth-year option. You get it if you're a first-round pick.
He's gone.
Interesting. Interesting.
I don't know if you want to get into just to go down that real quick. I think you're right. I think it was a great pick by the Steelers, or a great trade. Only give up a six. We talked about that before. But I think right now, the way Burns has come along and the way Ross Cockrell is playing, Gilbert is pretty much there for depth. And I think you're right. If these guys pan out the way they're looking, They'll keep him next year for depth, and you're right. They're not paying any cornerback that much money. There's no way. So, yep, good call.
So,
hey, Matt.
Before we get, because we're going all over the place right now, I'm trying to get a little bit back on the format. Also want to give out our phone number real quick for anyone that wants to call in, talk Steelers, talk anything NFL. That's what we're here to do. That number is 347-850-8581. That's 347-850-8581. Give us a call. We'll get you on air. So we talked a little bit week two. We talked a little Steelers. I definitely want to get your thoughts on the Bengals-Steelers game. I know it's been covered. Jeff and everyone on the other podcast did a great job talking about that, but I got to get your thoughts. Heck of a game. Different game than I think we thought would happen. I mean, I don't think anybody expected AB and Green to both get limited like they did. What were your thoughts on that, Fred? What do you think, man?
Not totally surprised that Antonio Brown was held down somewhat, because in the last, they showed over the last few years, his numbers against the Bengals, against everybody else, he's averaging like 140 yards. Against the Bengals, like 80. They do a decent job on him overall. And, and really, if you look at the game, I don't think they did anything unusual. If you remember the game, AB had one big drop where Ben scrambled and, he jumped up and he was after him. You could see he was looking to turn on field. So if he doesn't drop that, which is unusual for AB to drop it, he's got another 17 yards or so. And then if you remember the 4th and 5 play, the first time the Steelers went for it on 4th and 5, it looked like Ben was motioning afterwards that the ball slipped. That's when he threw the interception to Pac-Man. You look at the play again, you watch the coach's film. The Bengals blitzed 8 guys. The Steelers had 3 guys out. AB was one-on-one with Pac-Man. He was wide open on the post. If the ball does not slip out, he's got the first down, and more than likely, he's got a touchdown. So the Bengals did a good job, but they weren't holding him down. They got a little luck there, too. The other thing I'll say is our defense stopped their run. They've done that 2 games. I just think the Bengals are in trouble with their new offensive coordinator, Ken Zampezi, Ernie Zampezi's son. I think he was Andy Dalton's quarterback coach for many years. And I think following his father's lead, his father was there with Air Coryell. And I think Zampezi wants to put his stamp on the offense and show off his prized pupil, which is Dalton. The only way he's going to do that is throwing it. They got away from the run. They weren't getting anything with him, but they got away from the run. They did it against the Jets, the same thing. So I was surprised the Bengals ran as few times. They only ran 18 times. The 2 of them were scrambles, even though the Steelers are stopping. So I think our defense did a great job, except for the one – bad angle by Artie Burns and Sean Davis gave the touchdown. But what I thought, the Bengals were tough against the run, tough sledding by D. Will, but we beat them when we had to. It was like in tennis, you want to hold serve. We held serve. We couldn't lose the one at home at least. So that's my thought. What do you think, Sable?
It was a bad field, the rain and everything like that. Cockrell played fantastic. He took Green out of the game. The unsung guy has to be Jordan Berry. Jordan Berry flip-flopped the whole field. Every punt either put him in bad field position almost the whole game and everything. Boswell has been kicking off really well. He's only had – everything's been a touchback for him and everything, and only one has been returned. That's a plus and everything. The Steelers' cornerbacks – Burns, I love the rookie. Speed helps. The Steelers are still 31st in pass defense. Only Oakland Raiders are worse. But I think they're still better than they were last year. They're 22nd in total defense. Props also to Jesse James. Catching the ball, and he's blocking well. The Steelers were good in the third down last 2 games. Offensively and defense. They were good in the red zone, offensive and defensively. And something I watched I replay. I watch the game, and then I go back in and listen to the radio broadcast. Bill Hillgrove and Tunch Hill can do it on radio. You can pick it up on, I think it's Steeler Radio or something like that. AB and Coates are never on the same side when they kind of come out of their formation and everything. So Coates, I think, is running the deep. You know, AB only had a couple catches, but maybe he was a decoy in that game. I don't know. But then he went crazy on the sideline. And I know Ramon Foster said something to him. I don't know if Ben talked to him about it. It was a good game. You had to beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati's now minus one behind us and everything. And we'll see where we go. Now I'm hoping that Cincinnati can take out New England, because I don't think anyone has a chance until we get them. I think we'll both be undefeated going into the New England game, which is okay with me, but I hope Cincinnati can give them a game, and I hope Cincinnati's the only one that's going to give them even a fairly good game. Okay, Matt.
I agree with you, man. And that going into New England, I mean, having them come to Heinz Field, both being undefeated, don't want to look too far ahead, because we all know as Steelers fans too well about trap games. We've lost some winnable games in the past, and that Miami game coming up, I've got circled, because that is a trap game if there ever was one. But, yeah, heck of a game. What really is interesting to me was Sammy Coates. You watch him, he had two catches for something like 97 yards, and I was watching him do a little research today, and I was watching the NFL Network, showed a video of Coates on the sideline, and Wheaton comes over, and he's talking to him. He's saying, yeah, you got to finish your routes. You've got to always expect the ball, not just if it's not thrown when you're in the first 10, 15 yards of your go route. You have to always run the route like you're getting the ball. And apparently at halftime, Ben talked to Coach, who was saying, you know, what do you want to do? We're trying to decide on what we're going to do. We're going to put, you know, hay bay in unless you can do this, unless you can handle this. And Coach said he wanted to make a play, and he came back. I want to get y'all's confidence levels in these other receivers, because what it sounds like from Todd Haley is that Wheaton, Coates, and Rodgers are all going to be kind of sharing the snaps. And to me, it seems like Wheaton should be, you know, getting a lot more snaps than Coates, or definitely Coates, maybe not Rodgers, but definitely Coates, because he's looked good. I mean, we all know what he did against the Seahawks. We all know, you know, what he's capable of, who he is. And he doesn't have those big mental errors like Coates does. A couple of those, like one pick was definitely on Coates. Another one could have been on him if Kirkpatrick had made the pick. What are your thoughts on our young receivers moving forward? And, you know, do you agree with Haley on how they're dividing it up?
I didn't see what you said about Wheaton talking to, I did read the article where Ben said he talked to him and kind of gave him, you know, I think, again, it's Ben showing himself to be a leader, saying, hey, you know, because both of them, Coach slowed up on one, which looked like I see Ben overthrew him, which if he didn't, I said, well, he's got a touchdown, but he slowed up on it, which I saw later, and then they got a first down, and two plays later, he tried again, and that's the one he got picked where he slowed up. So that's where Ben said, hey, what do you want to do? Because we'll put Hayvay in. And then Ben said, yeah, he said he wanted to go make a play. And then he did. He had that 53-yarder. Perfect. They moved. You saw it was, again, having AB on the other side. Some guys want to try to jump for the ball. He just ran right through it, made a great play. And the very next play, they hit the outlaw for the touchdown. As far as who they're going to split, Haley said he will have something for all of them. And, you know, like, you know, getting in, you think, okay, if you got to be in there to get in rhythm, but I think they all bring something different. And Rodgers, you know, I think he only had one catch last week maybe, but he's definitely a slot guy. Wheaton can play both. So I think it just depends on what they're trying to accomplish. I was kind of nervous not having Wheaton before the Bengal game, only because, you know, he's a veteran. He's been there. Ben knows him. He knows what those division games are like. Neither Rodgers or Coach had been there, but, you know, Coach made a play and stepped up. I think Haley wants to – I think Haley's thoughts maybe are throw the bone out there and let them all fight for it and they're all going to play better. So I like it in that respect. You like having a veteran there, but Rodgers showed he can make plays. Coach showed once – you know, he's been inconsistent, but he showed he's averaging 38 yards a catch. He's making a big one. So I say just keep it going until one of them – let one of them step forward. I just say keep it going. What do you think, Sabo?
Right before we came on, I was asking about, and I'll ask Matt too real quick, do you think they'll have five wide receivers dressed for this game, the Steelers? Matt?
Yeah, I mean, who would you not? You got Brown, Wheaton, Coates, Rodgers, and you can't sit Hey Babe because he's vital to the special teams. I think that's all of them.
Freddie?
Yeah, that we had talked about a little before, and I was debating that, you know, who do you – because the first 2 weeks, the inactive list has been pretty much made by itself. All the guys are hurt, but now you're pulling Wheaton off, and who do you sit? I agree that Hey Babe, he's with the special teams, he's out there, so probably – it's a guess, but maybe it'll sit Tyler Matakiewicz for the first time. Him or Dangerfield, but Dangerfield, you know, they don't have a lot of depth of safety, and he does. So I think it might be Matakiewicz. They have, you know, Ford out there and VW to do the special team. So, no, I agree. I think it's they'll dress five.
Okay, if you want to call in, talk about this, it's 347-850-8581. And here's why I brought this up. This is going to be our five wide receivers out there. We know what they are. But here's going to be the matchups. If we go with two wide receivers, A.B. is going to be on Nolan Carroll because the other, who's there, McKelvin is injured. So Nolan Carroll is probably their most consistent. A.B. on Nolan Carroll, you got to be kidding me. He'll have over 10. Coates is going to be picked up by, are you ready for this? Ron Brown. Ron Brooks. I think his name is Brooks. I don't even
know.
Yeah,
Brooks.
Ron Brooks. Who the heck is he? He's going to be their second cornerback now. If they go three wides, Eli Rogers in the slot. Now, I like this guy coming out of college, and so did Freddie. Jalen Mills is going to have to pick up Eli Rogers, I would believe. Mills is a little bit taller. You probably want a quicker guy on him. But they don't have anyone to do that. Now Wheaton is your fourth. If Wheaton is your fourth, he's getting picked up by a safety who plays like a cornerback, Malcolm Jenkins. When you go to five wides, Bay comes in and Jalen Watkins picks him up. Now Watkins could probably pick up Rodgers because he's just a little bit smaller and a little bit quicker. If we go to five wides on any time, we're going to beat them. With our offensive line, that's the game. Game over. If we have Williams out of the backfield, who's going to – even if we go with Jesse James as your fifth wide with Williams in the backfield and you take out Bay, which I would probably do because – Bay's either going to catch the ball or he's not, and most time he's not going to. So I'm taking Bay out, and I'm either going with Jesse James. I'm going with Williams. Let's go with Williams and everything. There's no way they can stop that passing attack. That's it.
It all depends on that, on their front four, which is definitely their strength. But we're going to get to our picks with that in a little bit. Before we do that, I definitely want to cover the NFL news. So for everyone who's listening and who listened last week, we were trying out a couple different formats as we get into the season. Last week we did all 16 games, well, really 15 games. We did 15 games. We went through all of them. We made our picks. This week we're going to try something a little different. We're going to cover our NFL news. Then we're going to go and we took the top six or seven games. We're going to spend most of our time on that, the Steelers game, the AFC North games, the most interesting games we want to talk about. That's where we're going to spend most of our time. they, and if we got some extra time, we'll go into the other ones. We're going to try out both formats, see what works. If you all want to give your feedback, feel free on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com because we definitely want to do what's most interesting and helpful to y'all. And I know Sabu gave the number, but I just want to give it one more time before we get into the news. It's 347-850-8581. All right, guys, top news coming out of the NFL this past week, some bad injuries, and I don't think anyone is bigger than Adrian Peterson. Tore his meniscus, placed on IR. There's ligament damage in there, too. Reports were coming out that Peterson was deciding between whether he just wanted to do sort of a shave around the meniscus, but not as big of a surgery, or full-on repair, and he chose a full-on repair, so he's going to be out at least until December is what I'm hearing. He could be back for, you know, the playoffs if that happens, but a bad injury. And a lot of people are saying, you know, because he just hasn't done much this season, even though we're only into 2 weeks, he played 1.5 games, that this Vikings team is going to be just fine. That Jerick McKinnon and Asiata are capable of filling in for him. And I disagree, but that seems to be the popular opinion. Want to get y'all's thoughts on that one. Are the Vikings going to be fine moving forward?
Again, 2 games, hard to tell. Peterson wasn't doing anything. He had 31 carries for 50 yards. Quick math, that's about 1.6 yards a carry. I saw something that there's always a new stat. Since the merger, that's like the lowest average yards per carry for running back with like 25 attempts. The Vikings as a team are averaging 1.9. So it wasn't just Peterson that was struggling. It was the whole team. And their offensive line, not the greatest. And their starting left tackle, Matt Khalil, got put on IR. So it just got worse for them. So even if he wasn't that good, he was their starter. The guy behind him, you would assume, is going to be worse. Just when the Vikings looked like they had Sam Bradford, if you watched him against the Packers, he looked good. He made some throws that really impressed me. But now they can't run the ball. And it's I don't know. I saw they did pick up Ronnie Hillman. That was a good pickup. When he got caught by the Broncos, I knew it was only a matter of time before somebody will get him. He's a good back. So I just don't know what the Vikings are going to do to score, because you don't have a running game, and they have one wideout, Stephon Diggs, who again showed up big against the Packers. He made a heck of a catch, and then they got their tight end who got a touchdown. That's about it. I think they have a great defense. The Vikings have a fantastic defense. I just don't know how they're going to score. I don't know how they're going to do moving the ball. Peterson, I think it was just, I don't think they could do it with these other guys too much. I know somebody said they're going to be better off without them. I don't know. I think they're going to struggle one either way. What do you think, Sabo?
Oh, positively they're going to struggle without them. I hope the kid's backup, that McKinnon, I hope he does good, because I picked him up on my fantasy as soon as Peterson was out. So, but I can't see them. You know, they lose Khalil. I mean, that's just like us losing a Pouncey or something like that. Bradford, he's going into a second game starting. I know he looked good on this one. Diggs had he's a nice wide receiver and everything, but I can't see them. I can't see them winning. It's too much for them to lose and everything. You're losing probably your best offensive lineman and your running back, who might be the leader in the clubhouse, in the locker room, and everything. I just can't see them. It's going to be too much.
It'll be interesting moving forward. You never want to see injuries in the NFL, but injuries to like those big names, those future Hall of Fame players, which Adrian Peterson is, of course, going to be. It always just makes the season, you know, a little bit darker. Moving on, though, I want to get through a couple of them, and I'll get your thoughts. Nothing major. Buccaneers wave. They're starting tight end Austin Seferian-Jenkins. He, I believe, had trouble with the DUI. He's, you know, been in and out of trouble with the team before. He was benched earlier. This one was apparently just the final straw, and so they cut him. He's now out of there, no longer with the Bucs. Another big injury, Danny Woodhead, torn ACL. This now is two ACL tears to two key players for the Chargers in 2 weeks. Keenan Allen and Danny Woodhead both out for the year. And yet, the Chargers are 2-0, I believe. Is that right, friend?
No, they're 1-1.
They won last game.
Yeah.
That's right. The Chiefs came back in week one. That Chargers team, they just can't catch a break, man. And in our division, Corey Coleman, Browns rookie wide receiver, making big plays weeks one and two. He's out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken hand. In practice, he broke his hand. Not even in the game. That's just – talk about another fan base that just can't catch a break. You lose RG3. Josh McCown comes in. He injures his shoulders. He's out for a couple weeks. Now you've got to start your rookie quarterback. You don't have your number one wide receiver. Are the Browns just cursed? Is this just how it's going to be forever? I don't know what to think about this, Fred.
I'm just trying to wonder, where did, at some point in the past, who did the Browns anger? What football god did they anger? Because, I mean, a lot of the stuff over the past, you know, since they re-entered the league in 99 has been their own fault. They just are just... They can't get out of their own way. They're just so stupid and make stupid draft picks and that. This is just bad luck. And Josh McCown, everybody, you know, by everybody's account, everybody loves the guy. You know, it's unfortunate he's on the Browns. Toughest guy. He played through the game. And then did you see the thing when they were asking about why he kept playing when it hurt? He said because.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many more games I'm going to play, how much longer I'll be around. I want to show my kids. And under my father, that's what you do. You go out and play, you know, just feel sorry for him, you know, because that guy laid it on the line. He's a professional. And so I don't know. When they finish it on and figure out, I don't know who the Browns or Paul Brown or somebody pissed in somebody's cornflake somewhere because it's coming down bad on them. What do you think, Dave-O?
That's exactly who they pissed off, the football gods. Truthfully, when they left and then came back, look how bad it is for me. Here I go back to fantasy. I got Corey Coleman on my fantasy team. Right? I got Woodhead. He gets hurt. I got Peterson. And we're not even in the third week now.
Hey, Dave-O.
Yeah.
Here. I want you to pick up – you just told me you had Peterson and Woodhead and Coleman. Pick up Tom Brady on your fantasy. You jinxed
him.
Picked
him up. They're
pick
waiting
him
for
up.
The week.
Someone got him.
You,
yeah, they're waiting for the fourth week on him. Someone already
– pick him up. You jinxed all your guys.
No, someone already has him on the roster. They haven't been
injured. Trade for him, and then maybe he'll get injured.
Yeah, trade him.
Okay, I get it now.
Man, Brown's tough.
He's going to be my coach, tough. Belichick. He's going to be my coach. Hope he
That might be the key. Tough start to the season for the Browns, which it always is, but to have all those injuries, to lose to Carson Wentz, who you passed up for RG3, it's just, we got to move on. It's just a depressing situation. Moving on, another couple injuries. Jay Cutler, he is out 2 to 3 weeks with a thumb injury. Looks like Brian Hoyer will be seeing snaps for the next couple games, probably three games he'll be starting. Bears right up there with the Browns for that top draft pick this year. They look like it's no good out there. Another injury, Dante Moncrief, the Colts' number two wide receiver, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. That is another team who everyone had big expectations for, and, man, they're stumbling right out the gate, and now they got to go and play this week without their number two. I don't know, guys. I don't think it's – is it time to panic if you're a Colts fan?
I don't know if it's time to panic. Time to panic might have been last year. Teams have a lot of injuries, just the same like the Ravens did. I think sometimes – you chalk up everything to injuries. You go, you know what? Next year, we won't have the injuries. But even without Moncrief being injured, the Colts, their defense is not good. They still don't have much of an offensive line. Luck, they held him in the game last week at Denver, but he got beat up again. Their owner, he's a little flaky there, Irsay. He was saying before the season he thinks it's going to be the start of a third golden age. He was talking about Unitas, you know, back with the Baltimore Colts and then Manning. No, there ain't no gold yet. I think he's snorting gold dust or something. No, there's no gold yet for the Colts. They are a panic. I don't know. They don't have a real tough game. That's where you play the Chargers, but they're not good. That AFC South is horrendous. Nobody deserves to win that. Can they like give another team the division, but just fight because nobody deserves it?
What
do you think?
Division.
What do you think, Sabo?
Can I give a number again? 347-850-8581. Well, this is okay for me. Cutler goes out. I like Brian Hoyer. I like when he was a Steeler and everything. The Moncrief injury, guess who I have on my fantasy?
T.Y. Hilton.
Got it. That's one plus. And, Matt, did you see about the Detroit running back, Abdullah? Did you mention him?
Yeah. I was going to get to him, but go ahead, man.
Well, I got Theo Riddick.
So it's not all bad news.
No.
So for everyone
Riddick,
who... Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I thought Riddick was going to get more playing time as we went along anyway, and I thought he was a better running back, but that's just me and everything like that. So I did have two good things happen out of those injuries.
he'll definitely see more time now. And for everyone who didn't know, Amir Abdullah, Lions second-year running back, who had been playing well so far, now on IR. It's a really weird case because he had a foot injury. He had x-rays done on his foot. Everything was negative, and then he gets put on IR. So it's a weird case. He could be back. He could be out for the season. I've done some research. I can't really find anything definitive, so it's a really wait-and-see approach. Last injury before we get on to our games, Pat's backup quarterback, well, I guess now starting quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, sprained his thumb. So really mixed reports with this. Reports are that there was ligament damage, that he was going to miss this game. Other reports saying that he's fine. Really don't know, up in the air. If he goes down, they're out of quarterback. So that means they have Julian Edelman, I guess, unless they pick someone up, starting for them at quarterback. And if the Patriots win a game with Julian Edelman as their starting quarterback, I will give up. I don't understand how it's happening. I don't understand how it happened on Thursday. But they're doing some sort of voodoo magic over there. What do you think, Fred?
Yeah, well, the Patriots were already running a few plays out of the old wing T, and they ran a quarterback counter off of that. So they put Edelman in. They'll just... We were talking about before, they'll just run the wildcat. They'll just run the old single wing. And they're playing the perfect team. They're playing the Bills next week. The Bills can't get out of their way for nothing. So as much as I swear it would not surprise me if they actually won a game with Julian Edelman at quarterback. When they were beating the Texans Thursday, I thought, well, heck, do we just end the season now? There's no point. They can't friggin' lose. Although it does speak to one thing, though. Nobody's going to question how great a quarterback Tom Brady is, but I don't know, maybe part of it, it'd be nice to go back and you do the butterfly effect and see what happened if Brady wasn't on the Patriots. Because there's a lot of guys coming out of Michigan, they thought he was nothing. I don't know that you can't say it's all Belichick, but I say a lot of it is when he can make Garoppolo look decent, he can make Jacoby Brissett look decent. I don't know. What do you think, Sable?
Well, I can't fathom how New England can win with their second and third string. And then if Edelman comes in, then I'm saying there's no way that they can win with Edelman. I don't even know if they picked up another backup quarterback. I don't know who knows the system. Did Matt Flynn play up there? I don't know who Charlie White. I don't know who knows his system. Maybe he could bring anyone in. Maybe he can bring Vic in. Michael Vick.
No.
To New England and be their backup quarterback. And Edelman's going to get hurt too, and Vic's going to come in and win a game for him. Then I'll just lose it. I'll move to Canada and start watching the CFL games. I mean, if Belichick isn't one of the greatest coaches by his scheme, I mean, if he can plug anyone in there, that Jamie Collins had a real good game. I mean, they win. And I can't wait for the matchup against the Steelers and everything. I love that it's going to be here. I think both teams will be undefeated. I just don't know how he does it. It's smoke and mirrors or something. He just plugs someone in, and they win. Deion Lewis was last year when they picked him up. You thought he was a retread. He comes in, does good. Blunt. Anyone he puts. He even picked up, who is that, Mingo? Probably that Mingo is going to start playing good.
I'll tell you one thing, see, we were talking about Vic. You mentioned it before here, and I looked up. In 2005, a quarterback that was there so he would know the system, Doug Flutie. So you mentioned him before, they could pick him up. He played, he was 43 years old. He played in five games that year. So he knows the system. You know, they could probably put Flutie in and beat the Bills.
They could probably get Flutie's brother, Darren, and come in and win a game for them and everything. Remember him? He played for a while.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know how they do it and everything. Because I didn't think the rookie quarterback was going to. And then they kill Houston and everything. I just don't. You know, that one rollout he did and ran.
Oh, 27 yards. Yeah, nobody touched him. I will say this. Knowing from all those places he's been, Bill Belichick, I can't stand the guy, and my daughter knows I call him the curmudgeon. He knows his history. He knows the football history. He was at Navy. He knows as much about football as any coach. He knows every system. He knows the history of it. He knows running a single wing. He knows running the wing tee. He knows running the option. And he ran it. He ran a counter option with the quarterback out of a wing tee. He knows his stuff. That's what I say. His offensive coordinators, Josh McDaniel, it ain't McDaniel. McDaniel went to coach the Broncos. He sucked.
Yeah.
It's Belichick just saying, here's what you do. Because no way McDaniel's coming up with that stuff on his own. I hate the guy. He's the evil emperor, but he does know his stuff. So
we had a
team. I agree with you.
Team.
Go ahead, Debo.
They were the Morningside Bulldogs. The coach was Joe Natoli, if anyone's listening, from Pittsburgh. And he used to run the single wing, and he used to beat everyone. And I think Belichick is just like him. He was a great coach. Mr. Natoli was a great coach and everything. I'm starting to think Belichick, I don't want to say this, but I think he's almost in the same breath as Chuck Noll. I'm sorry to say, and I don't want to say it, but he proves it. I want to have a heart attack now because I said that. But
let me see if I can help you by moving this on, or else we're going to have a whole lot of Steelers fans calling us, you know, Patriots fans. We're not Patriots fans, but yet.
No.
we're baffled. We're trying to comprehend what is going on.
Okay.
But enough with the injury news, enough with the Patriots. We're going to move on, get into our picks, get into the top games of the week. And, of course, where else will we start but Pittsburgh at Philadelphia, our game of the week, every black and gold fan game of the week. Who you got, Fred, and why? What are your thoughts, buddy?
Before I throw that in, I think the bigger thing, and bigger than if the Steelers are going to beat the Eagles, the bigger question is, which is better, a Primanti Brothers sandwich or a Philly cheesesteak? Because that's really what's the bigger topic. Because we all know the Steelers are going to win. I got scared. I like the Eagles. As I said before, we got a civil war going on here. I love Carson Wentz. After the combine, before the draft, looking at him, he was on Gruden's, you know, quarterback clinic there. There's something about him. He has it. He's going to be a good one. And he reminded people of Big Ben. I could see some of those similarities. He hasn't beaten anybody. You know, he beat the Browns, and they don't count. And he beat the Bears, and they're horrible. I think we're going to throw enough stuff at him that, you know, we're going to start going, like Sabo alluded to, I think they're the weakest part of their defense. They have a great defense. They're that defensive line, and Jim Schwartz knows what he's doing with it. It was a great pickup to get him, but their corners, especially with the oldest McKelvin being out, as Sabo said, if Caleb Mills has the starter, they move him in the slot. Nolan Carroll's okay. He's a decent veteran. They don't have anybody to match up with AB. I don't know if they'll play more man or something, but the corners, we're still going to run the ball some. I don't think we get away from that. I think the Steelers have shown in two games that they have a nice mix. And the thing about them, I think we have enough variety and enough talent at the different positions that we can beat you whatever way you need to. If we need to throw it, we can throw it. If we need to run it, we can run it. We got red zone targets now with Jesse, and even the extra man came in. So, I see the Eagles defense holding us down a little bit, but I see we get a defensive score late, and I had to pick it for PTSD. I picked it about 26-15. I see us holding their offense down. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball again. The only guy that scares me the most, really, is Sproles. Because you saw what Giovanni Bernard did last week, catching the ball out of the backfield. We get beat on them screens. We get those deep drops so we don't get beat, and then the backs catch it underneath. And for that, Sproles is the guy that I think that I fear the most in that. And if he's able to rip off a punt return, maybe, too. So what do you think, Sabo?
I'm going with I don't think Carson Wentz is ready. He beat two not-so-good teams. I want to see him go out. I'm calling this the Father, the Son, and either the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. We're going to have James Harrison coming at him. Mike Mitchell, I'm calling the Son. Harrison's the Father. And then we got Shazier with them those white eyes and that hair and but no eyebrows. I'm calling him the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and everything. He's like a missile back there. Wentz doesn't know how to go down. He's like Ben, and he tries to make plays and everything. They're going to come in, I think, not that they're going to try to hurt him, but I think he's never going to see anything like this. They're going to come at him. I would blitz him, put people in his face, knock him down. I think that might be the difference in the game. Carson Wentz is not ready. He came from – I know he's a good quarterback. He came from North Dakota. He won the national championship in North Dakota. Okay, that's not UCLA. That's not Alabama and everything. It's a step up. He won two games. Fantastic. The last time the Steelers won in Philadelphia – are we ready for this? 1965. And you know who the quarterback was? You want to take a guess?
For the Steelers?
Yeah.
My guess would be it's probably wrong. Ed Brown.
Ed Brown is who I guessed on Stan Saverin's show and everything. It was Bill Nelson. I don't remember Bill Nelson. I was going to guess Bobby Lane. Ben almost quit when he was up there in 2008 and got almost, what'd they have, 8 or 9 sacks against him? He was ready to quit for coming back. He calls Kiesel up. Do you hear this story? Calls Kiesel up and said, the game's not fun anymore. This is nine. I got sacked 8 times and everything. I'm really thinking about quitting and everything. Kiesel says, come on over to the house. He goes over his house. They have a few beers. We turned it around. We won a Super Bowl and everything like that. But the only place they have a better that long snapper for them, the guy that almost won America's Got Talent, that Darren Bosch or something. He might be
John Darren Bosch, yeah.
He might be as good as Greg Warren. They got a nice front seven, just like Freddie said and everything like that. They come at you, but they come at you wide. Okay, so Ben, if he steps up, or you know how Ben shrugs off people. I don't think Philadelphia is ready for prime time. And at 4:25 tomorrow, they're going to go into prime time against the Steelers. So I got to go with Philadelphia winning. No, I got to go with this.
All that leading up, and you take the Eagles.
Yeah, the Steelers will be 3-0 after this, and Philly will be 2-1. And they're coming down to earth. There's no way there. I like the way our fast defense is playing. This is going to be D'Angelo Williams. What's he need? 68 yards to pass Walter Payton. He's going to get that. With the wide receivers, just like I said, our offensive line, I don't know too many. Maybe their left tackle will take over Alejandro. This Brandon Graham for Philadelphia is a good ball player and everything. That's going to be a good matchup against Gilbert. He's had a couple sacks, tackles for loss, a lot of hurries. We were looking at picking him up as a free agent. I think they did bring him in and everything, but he's a good. That's going to be a good matchup and everything like that. Their wide receivers, Jordy Matthews, he doesn't scare me. He'll be in the slot. I think Gay, he's a little bit taller than Gay. He's 6'6", 1 or whatever. That's going to be a nice matchup. I really like the way Artie Burns was playing. Cockrell was unbelievable. Maybe he'll take Jordy Matthews all over the field and everything. Cockrell played a great game against Green and everything. I think the Steelers have too many weapons, and their defense is just a little bit too fast. They have some injuries. The tight end's not going to play Ernst for them.
Right.
I don't even know if that Kendrick, their nice linebacker, is going to play. They have another guy that's injured and everything. I think the Steelers are just too many weapons and too fast. So they're going to be the winners of the Keystone State. And that's going to – by winning the Keystone State, Hillary's going to get the presidency.
I'm with both of you. I think it's Pennsylvania versus Wentsylvania, and I think the Steelers take this one. I think Fred and I are going to be on the couch, unfortunately, but we're going to be sleeping all warm with the Steelers victory 3-0 for the first time in a while, because we usually are coming back from behind. I think everyone remembers that 0-4 start a few years ago. 3-0 is nice. We'll keep it moving. It's going to be there's a few other 2-0 teams. The Patriots looking good. The Broncos looking good. We gotta keep going. We can't drop these winnable games like this. So I'm taking the Steelers too. And before we move on, I want to get a quick word from our sponsor, Frank Walker.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
The show is, of course, sponsored by Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense firm in Western PA and West Virginia. Check them out at frankwalkerlaw.com. All right, guys, so Belichick has already sabotaged us here. We spent so much time talking to Patriots that we got to fly through these next games. So moving right along, we talked Pitt at Philly. I definitely want to at least get through our division. Baltimore versus the Jaguars. Really, honestly, a hard game to choose. You're, of course, rooting for the Jags. Who are you taking, Fred?
I'm taking the Jags. They're at home. I don't know if that means anything. They look awful. Their defense stinks. But the Ravens have beat two winless teams. They beat the Browns, and they beat the Bills and the Browns, and they were down 20-2. to the Browns. I'm taking the Jaguars. Just Baltimore's so far they're 2-0. They're not that good. Jaguars got to win sometime. So I'm picking the Jaguars. What do you think, Sable?
I'll go the opposite. I'll go with the Ravens. Solid offense. Flacco. Can you believe Mike Wallace has 3 TDs? Unless I read that wrong.
That's right.
3 TDs. I don't know if Doomerville's foot. I think they're just going to find a way to win. They have some of the best special teams. Jacksonville, I like. Beachum, I don't think is going to play. Their offensive line is just – I know they're at home, and I hate picking against a team at home, but I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Yeah, Wallace has 3 TDs. Brown has 2. So, I guess hindsight, maybe we should have paid Wallace over Brown, right, guys? I'm just messing with you. Yeah, I would love for the Jags to win. But I don't see it happening. Jags 0-2. Their defense is non-existent. Ravens 2-0, tied for the Steelers for first place in the AFC North. I'm taking the Ravens to win. I don't want it to happen. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm taking the Ravens to win. It'll be interesting. We're still finding out who that team really is. All right, moving along, staying in the division, Cleveland at Miami. This is an interesting game for me to pay attention to because, you know, I'm behind this little curtain. Steeler Fever, one of the writers there, sets up, you know, some posts where we can chat with other teams before our game. So we had a whole bunch of Eagles fans over on behind the steel curtain. We were talking with them. I made a wager with one of them that the Browns were going to lose by multiple scores, so 9 points or more. And if I lose this, I've got to change my signature on that site to the Baltimore Ravens deserve to win this Super Bowl, which I don't want to do because I'm going to get run out of behind the steel curtain. So I need Miami to blow the doors off the Browns. Is it going to happen, Fred?
Probably the best for them to blow the doors off is if a hurricane's coming down there. But, no, I think they still will. So it just has to be by double digits, right?
Right.
It's
going to be by 9 or more.
9 or more, okay. Okay, 2 scores, okay, 9 or more, I get you. Yeah, they will. As bad as the Dolphins' offense is, the Browns, as we just, you know, pointed out, their best weapon gone. Cody Kessler? Seriously? Cody Kessler? The Dolphins' defense will probably score, and that'll be all they need. They'll get a couple field goals. The Browns, they don't have the guys that haven't played together. They have nothing. They have nothing. They, you know, you're fine. They better be fine for your sake. No, I'm of course picking the Dolphins to win, but I think they'll win by double digits. I think it'll be just enough. But I could see it being like they'll kick some field goals, like, I don't know, 20 to 6 or something like that. I see a score. The Browns aren't going to score. They're not going to get a touchdown unless Tannehill gives them one on defense. What do you think, Sable?
I'm going to go with the lock. I'm going to go with Miami. Miami's had 2 tough games on the road. They're coming back home. I'm going to say the Fins by about 7. Just like you said, Cleveland now has Cody Kessler as their quarterback. What's that now? He's their 26th starting quarterback since 1999. Hayden has a groin injury. The kid from Penn State, that Carl Nasbin, broken hand. Ewing has a lung. Cameron Ewing has a lung bruise. What the heck is a lung bruise?
Now, I didn't even hear that one.
That sounds bad to me. You know, Coleman's not playing, Corey Coleman. He has a broken hand. And now their number one wide receiver becomes Terrell Pryor. So I'm going to go with Miami. That's my lock.
I like it. And Well, since it's your lock, I feel a little better because you were the only one of us to get their lock right from last week. You took Baltimore as a lock. You got it right. I took the Lions as a lock. That didn't work out. And Freddie took the Raiders as a lock, which also didn't work out.
One thing on that. When you guys said lock, I thought you meant which team was most likely to get locked up. So I thought I thought the Raiders, you know, with those guys with Carr and out there in the black hole, I thought they would get arrested. So I didn't know what you meant that was.
You're trying to talk your way out of there, like save it with his half lock.
Yeah, well, wait a second. If I took that as my lock, and I was 9-7, shouldn't I get an extra point or something? At least tie you because I had the lock and you didn't have the lock?
We're still figuring this out.
Oh, no. Okay. I tried.
Maybe I'll throw it to Jeff and see what he says.
No, don't do that. No, that's okay. I lost.
I'm also going to take Miami here. If I win this bet, then this guy on the Eagles Super Bowl Nation site, he's got to change his signature to Carson Wentz is overrated, and I'd rather have Kirk Cousins. So that would give him a fun month over there. See what everybody says to him. So Miami all around. Moving on. Got another good one in the division. Bengals at home against the Broncos. I'm still thinking about who I'm going to take. Let me throw this to you, Fred Wallace. Thank you, man. Who you got?
Yeah. I'll let you buy some time. Actually, I want both teams to lose. I want the Bengals to always lose because it helps us in the division, and I hate their whiny fans. They whine over everything. They think everything's a conspiracy. There's more guys thinking conspiracy Bengals than thought the conspiracy of JFK being killed. They whine over everything. But anyways, and I don't want the Broncos to win because obviously, you know, home field in the playoffs. But who I want to win and who I think will win, I'm actually taking the Bengals. The Bengals, even though they gave up a lot of yards rushing the first two games, they won a tough one at the Jets when Dalton was getting his head kicked in by their defensive line, and they still managed to pull that one out. The Bengals have a tough defense. The Broncos, they can get after the quarterback. Von Miller has 4 sacks already. 4. They have 8 after 2 games. And they've gotten after him. But they look maybe a little more vulnerable against the run as they did last year. Now, part of it was the first game to give up a lot of yards rushing to the Panthers, but they're always going to get him with Cam, you know, chunking in 50 yards or so. But they did lose Malik Jackson in the middle. But the thing the Bengals have to do is run the ball. The Zampezi, their coordinator, like I said, he's the son of Ernie Zampezi, who was there with the Chargers, Eric Coryell. And even though it's Hugh Jackson's offense that's implemented, he's putting his spin on it. And I think he wants to attack through the air, and he doesn't. If they try to do that this game, Dalton will get killed. They have to run it. And the Broncos, Broncos have a better running game than they had last year. Their offensive line came together quicker than I thought. They have a tough runner in C.J. Anderson. But Simeon has thrown 3 picks in 2 games at home. This is his first game on the road. So I think it's a tough one. I think it's a tight one. But I think the Bengals find a way to win at home. The Broncos can't keep winning almost solely on their defense. Their defense scored 2 touchdowns last week. So the Bengals are still tough. The Red Ryder BB gun, we turn him into a pop gun. And that's what we always do to him. But I think the Bengals win this one. What do you think, Sabo?
I'm going to give the phone number, then I'll tell you what I think. 347-850-8581. I'm going to go with Denver. They have the defense. Denver's going to shut down Dalton. Like you said, Von Miller has 4 sacks. Dalton's been sacked 8 times. The Bengals are going to shut down Simeon. The Bengals are top 10 offense, but they haven't turned that into any points. Their defense is leaking yards like the Titanic. So I'm going to go with, I say Denver.
I'm with you. I'm taking Denver also. I think that Denver defense has it, man. They're doing everything right. Miller is an unstoppable force. I think the Bengals O-line is in trouble. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. I don't think the Broncos have the offense to do it, but I think they're more than capable of winning this game. And I'm with you, Fred. I don't really know who I want to win. I mean, long-term looking forward, you got to want the home field advantage. But to do that, you know you're going to have to beat the Patriots. You got to finish your other games right now. You got to look short-term. Win the division. I'm hoping the Broncos win. I'm taking them. They're my lock of the week. And just to clarify for that, Fred, that I'm not expecting them to get locked up. I'm expecting them to win this game. And...
Well, I was trying to hedge any way I could there.
If you get locked up, I'll get you out because you remember what my other job was, so I can get you out.
If we get locked up, you know we're calling Frank Walker.
That's right. Boy, that's a nice pick for a lock. All right.
So moving on, going to try and get a couple more in here before we go. We really spent a lot of time on those injuries and everything. So we're getting a couple more in. Next one we're going to talk about another AFC one, Jets and Chiefs. Another close one to call. Who you got?
Wow, yeah, you're right, another close one to call. The Chiefs don't impress me so far. The Jets, they probably should be 2-0. They should have beat the Bengals. And, of course, they walked over to hapless Bills. Something, is this year the Jets finally turned the corner? Arrowhead's a tough place to play. I picked the Jets on the other one. Now I'm thinking if I should change my mind because I should never go with Fitzpatrick in a tough situation because he always blows it there. But the Chiefs don't have Justin Houston yet. And we won't face him either. And they don't have – I don't think Charles is going to play yet either. So with that, I'm going with the Jets. Fitzmagic. What do you got, Sable?
Oh, no. Why did you have to pick them?
Why? Because you picked them now?
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Jets over Kansas City. These are two teams we're going to play. I think the difference might be Forte. He might be the difference maker in this and everything. Mm. I don't know if Brandon Marshall is going to play. Why did you have to pick the Jets? Okay, I'm going to go with the Jets. Here's another reason. I want the Kansas City to lose because I hate any team coming in here with momentum. I said it last week. We're playing Kansas City next week. I want them to lose this week and come in with their tails between their legs. So I'm picking the Jets because Kansas City is going to lose, and they're going to lose against the Steelers the week after with Bell. Okay, that's it.
I'm making a sweep. I'm taking the Jets also. I believed in the Chiefs last week. They let me down. I'm sorry, Sabo. I know you like to be the contrarian, man, but it's a sweep hat trick. Jets win this one. You don't even have to watch it. We all already told you who's winning. Moving on. This might be the game of the week. Vikings versus Panthers. No Adrian Peterson. Sam Bradford had the better quarterback play last week between him and Aaron Rodgers. Never going to say that again, probably. Now he's going up against another elite QB in Cam Newton. Vikings defense is all that. Panthers defense is great, too. Fred, who are you taking? Vikings, Panthers?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the injuries to the Vikings, they can't run the ball. And if the Panthers are stout anyway, their front seven is probably, if it's not the best in the game, it's one of the best with those linebackers. They got a great defensive line. Kawhi Short, Keeley, of course, Luke Kuechly is the best in the game. Where the Panthers are weak, they have two rookies at corner. So that's where you could beat them, but I don't think the Vikings have one guy, Stephon Diggs. So if you take him out, if your game can to take him out, I just don't see the Vikings scoring down there. And even though they have a great defense and they have a great coach, I like Zimmer. He's a good coach. One thing you mentioned, Sable, on the Vikings earlier about, you know, losing their best offensive lineman or star running back. I know a team that did that last year and still got to the playoffs. Oh, that's right. It was the Steelers. We lost Pouncey and Bell, and we still got there. I got to go with the Panthers. At home, just, I don't see the Vikings being able to score. Unless their defense scores, they're not going to score. They're going to struggle to get, you know, 13 points. So I'll go with the Panthers. What do you think, Sable?
Oh, why did you have to pick them? No. I'm going to pick Carolina Panthers. They're always tough at home. I don't think the Vikings can score enough Panthers and everything. And here's the shocker. The Vikings' dream of an undefeated season comes to an end. So Bradford played better than I thought he was. So I'm gonna go with Carolina Panthers. It's on to you, Matt.
I'm taking the Vikings here. I like that defense too much. Panthers lost week one. They let the Niners hang around going into the second half last year. The 49ers, they let Blaine Gabbert hang around until, I mean, they put him away in the second half and everything. But this isn't the 49ers. This is the Vikings coming off a win. They've got momentum. The team's buying in to Bradford and Zimmer. That kid, Stephon Diggs, is leading the NFL in receiving right now. I think he had, 100-and-something yards week one, about 200 yards week two. I'm taking the Vikings. I like them. I'm behind this team. They were my Super Bowl pick going into the year. Without Adrian Peterson, that's tough. We'll see what happens. I'm standing behind them until they prove me wrong. Vikings over Panthers. I'll take it. All right, we're going to try and squeeze in two more games before we go. The last two, we're going to start with Washington at New York Giants, Washington 0-2, Giants 2-0. Kirk Cousins going to get that win. What do you think, Fred?
Well, again, talking about the inflation, here's $20 million for a year. The Redskins aren't getting their money's worth. They're looking like big-time pretenders. He blew that game against Dallas last week. He just threw horrible picks, and the Dallas defense didn't do anything to stop him. He just made horrible decisions. They should have won that game. The Giants, I'd like to believe, I know their defense looks better than last year. I know that. How they only scored 13 points on the Saints is beyond me, because the Saints defense is non-existent. I'll say this, though. The Giants, you know, everybody knows about Odell Beckham. And Victor Cruz had come back. He had a touchdown the first week. I don't know if he had too much last week. Their rookie wide receiver, Sterling Shepard, that guy is as good a route runner as a rookie you're ever going to see. They got three great receivers. So I don't know how the Redskins are going to stop them. Hard to see the Redskins going 0-3, but I got to go with the Giants at home. I know anything can happen, and then the Giants haven't convinced. I really don't believe in them yet, but Kirk Cousins, he ain't it, man. You like that? Not so much. What do you think, Sable?
Oh, you had to pick the Giants. Okay, yeah, I'm going with Giants. Washington is in quicksand right now. The Giants' defense will be a factor. The Giants' defense is back. Now, Washington's going to be out of the race after three games are going to be 0-3. I think the Giants are going to be their surprise 3-0 team. They're coming back. I'm going to go with the Giants. And you're up next, Matthew.
I'm going to make it a hat trick. Giants also. Everyone is excited to see this Josh Norman versus Odell Beckham Jr. rematch. And I don't think they're going to see it. Why would you? Why would you put OBJ on that side, put him on the other side, Norman's not going to travel, and let him go? It's going to be the same thing with Antonio Brown. I'm taking the Giants. They're the better team. You got division in the locker room right now about Kirk Cousins. Teammates are calling him out. Giants are on a roll. Like you said, skins are in quicksand. Giants all day. Last game before we get out of here,
Monday Night Football, Atlanta at New Orleans. It'd be a shootout, but we thought that last week with the Giants at New Orleans. Who are you taking, Freddie?
Yeah, but this one's in a dome, and the Saints score in a dome. So if I had to lean one more there, I lean with the shootout. The Falcons don't have a defense. They've given up 30-plus points in each of their games. The Saints don't have a defense. Somehow the Giants only scored 13 points on them, but they still won. I prime time at home, I don't believe in either of these two teams long term. The Falcons never. There's something missing. Matty Ice, Iceberg, Ice. He doesn't have it. There's something missing. So long term, I don't see them. And the Saints, they don't have enough. They play breeze, but their defense is pathetic. But in this game, I got to pick somebody. I'm going to go with the Saints in this one. At home, fine. They're not going to lose. What do you got, Sable?
Oh, boy, you had to pick the Saints. yeah, Saints are at home. No one's going to be watching this game anyway because the debates are on the same time. That's what Trump said. New Orleans has an explosive offense, but their defense can get blown up. They're thinking this is some kind of bitter rivalry. I don't know. It ain't to me. Breeze is better than Matty Ryan. Here's the stat my best friend Jimmy gave me. The road team, this is cover to spread, the road team has won 15 out of the last 20 games they've covered the spread. And then I go with the home team winning it, but that's with the spread and everything. So I'm going to go with New Orleans Saints. It's on to you, Matt.
I don't know what is with you guys. You're taking everyone I don't want. I'm taking the Falcons here. I think they're the better team. I'm looking for Julio Jones to have a big night against. I know he's questionable to play, but I'm looking for him to have a big night. He always comes back against a really bad Saints secondary, really bad Saints defense all around. So, Falcons for me. And with that, as we're running out of time, I think we're going to close this one out. Any final thoughts from you guys before we send it out?
No, just still wondering. It's been, you know, a little while since we've seen the Bills because they played last Thursday. I still think that Rex might not make it through the season, even though we talked about in-season changes not really working out well and who would they promote. But the Bills are a disaster. When Rex has a fiery speech in training camp, you know, F this and F that, and we're the Fers to do it. And if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be the first one to go. And then they fire the offensive coordinator. It's like, how can you believe in your coach when he doesn't even take accountability? The Rex countdown is on. that's my final thoughts. What about you, Sable?
Yeah, fire the defensive coordinator too. Yeah, he ain't going to do that. I hate that the draft is in Philadelphia this year. I wish it would have been Pittsburgh. I would have rather even had it in Binghamton, New York, or even down in Virginia would have been better than Philadelphia. And I got a scoop for you guys. You know who's going to be singing the halftime for the Steelers in the Super Bowl?
Who's that?
Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is going to be doing the halftime of the Super Bowl for the Steelers.
Oh, they said that?
Yeah.
I got a song on that one. Something else at halftime. So before we head out, I want to give a quick shout out. My dad and my sister's birthday is both tomorrow. Want to wish happy birthday to them. Going to be doing stuff with them while discreetly watching Red Zone on my phone. So pray for Wi-Fi for me, guys. we'll see what happens. So with that, I think we're going to sign off for Matt, Fred, and Sabo. This is Black and Gold NFL Recap. We will talk to you guys next week. Go Steelers.
Okay, I thought it was our best show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.